The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Radio AM today is Thursday, July 2nd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to one of my sponsors today, Peace on the Street basketball tournament that's happening soon. I have a guest who's in studio, Miss Dr. Carlos Reed, trying to get that title in properly, but I'm going to take a new direction in this conversation, because I was trying to get Carlos Reed on the show for a while. This man to be busy, man. I mean, I called once or twice, you know, and see him and say, yeah, come in, but he always busy. I got to be rescheduling here and there, but he here, and I'm going to tailor the show based on what was my initial intention for the initial show, and then I'll culminate on, again, the Peace on the Street basketball tournament that he's having. Which day is the Peace on the Street basketball tournament?
It gets started on the 13th of July.
July 13th.
11 days from here. And it runs the whole week. And we culminate on the 19th over at the Kendall Isaac Gymnasium for the big showdown. You know, but the initial tournament started at the Hope Center from Monday to Friday from 6 p.m. until... And then we move everything over to the Kendall Isaac Gymnasium for all our championship games, the Joey Slam Dunk Contest, the Mr. Shepard three-point shootout, and the Pastor's Politician game that so many people are anticipating this year.
Yes, and if you want to be a sponsor of the show, come on the show and talk about your program and your activities, call me up. At least don't call me up, you call April. April's my handler, and she'll craft a show for you, and we'll work it in the system. But I'm going to start with this. When in the 1990s, I happened to be attending a private school, right? But I was banned off of East Street. I was banned off of East Street, and I was banned off of Blue Hill Road, and the neighborhood where I lived eventually was dubbed the Border. I lived on a border of different gangs, and I could not travel. I was inducted in a gang without being in the gang. In fact, people say, once you live border, that's what you are. You are a border boy. It was bad. My friends went to jail. I used to get rocks and balls thrown after me. And looking back at my head, I have some scars. I'm not going to go into detail, but I have ball marks in the back of my head. And I was not a problematic child. I was just a child of happenstance, and you live in a community. I got picked up by one big Jew. I'm showing that name out so in case people recognize the name. And I get picked up and drop home. So you can't be out here. If only thing I want to do is play basketball. Right? There was a park. You call it Hay Street Park. We used to play there till late in the night until it just got bad. One of the names that was called when I was young, when I said young, I was a teenage boy, but now I'm going back to when I was to primary school, going to attending T.A. Thompson Primary School. And one of the names that was called that brought terrified, you know, you get scared to the point that I got teary-eyed and cried for no reason, when you heard the name Syndicate. Say, the Syndicate is coming for you, Cecil. And I break down and say, my God, I'm going to die. Growing up in the border, there was a name that tends to resonate. And that was one Carlos Reed. They say Carlos Reed was a bad boy. So when you heard his name, he said, no, man, He can't be coming to border talking about peace on the street, talking about go to church, talking about changing. I know him. That's a bad boy. He's a war with them. But we know that on that part of East Street, we could not go. Carlos Reed is a bad boy. He can't talk to people like me to talk about change. But he stuck with it. He came and he took the border boys and took them to church. He took the border boys and said, we can play basketball. Talk about shoot guns. And he said, this man got to be crazy. I can't believe that. That don't make no sense. A number of my associates, friends, people I went to primary school particularly, fell on the wayside and did not make it. Find the finish line to save themselves. They fall on the sideways, right? And I did not get to hear the story properly from the point of view of someone who came in our neighborhood, came in different neighborhoods, and say, y'all gotta change. Y'all can't live like this no more, right? I remember the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, Sir Lyndon Pinglin, called all of the gang members together. And I remember talking to some of the gang members who in our neighborhood, don't go. This a trap. This makes no sense. How you can have all of us on one park? That's they trying to trick us. And after that meeting, to me, the gangs was finished. I thought it was finished because crime decreased automatically. Like the following weeks, the following years, you see there was a change in the neighborhoods. But again, the gangs came back. And one, Carlos Reed is still in the fight to remove these gangs, to save some of these wayward boys, girls. And he has a number of initiatives. And again, we'll culminate with the initiative Peace on the Street, where you shoot hoops instead of guns. And I want him to tell some of that story. And then the narrative I gave just now, I want him to fill in the missing blanks or either what I misconstrued or what I think I know to confirm, yes, that did happen. And this is where it went. Welcome again, Carlos Reed. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, Bahamas. First of all, my endeavor is not to get rid of the gangs, but to shift the mandate of the gangs. We live in a time where a lot of young men in particular, they're devoted, they're committed, they're loyal to the community they call theirs, and that's what we call gangs. Our endeavor is to change what makes them. One of the biggest problems that people in general face today is identity. This is why the first thing God gave man was an identity. In Genesis 1 and 26, he said, let us make man and let us make him in our likeness in our own image. He was basically trying to give him something that he don't have to. What am I saying? In Eastern culture, they have this thing that they call the rites of passage, where the father would take his young boy and they take him through this obstacle course, this ritual. And once he successfully completed, the father would get in the front of the village and he would tell everybody, today, my son becomes a man. For the rest of that boy's life, he didn't have to prove to anybody that he was a man. He just was who he was. Today we have so many people who are trying to be because nobody never validated them. The challenge in what we have among our young people is that we need to validate them. We need to help them to see their potential rather than seeing their downfalls. You know, the other thing that you said, right? I was never a part of the syndicate. We came from Ridgeland Park. Our fallen den was the Magic City Assassinators, which went on to be the Junglers, then evolved into what most people know today as One Order. I want to say for the record, a lot of things that I did in my life that I'm not proud of, but I believe that God in people to help bring out the perfections in other people, which is why I dedicate my life now to be able to reverse the identity crisis that we are faced with in our country today. So I don't see it as a gang problem. I see it as an identity problem. And why I say that our efforts is not basically to get rid of the gangs, but get rid of what the gangs do. When we look at the loyalty that some of these brothers and sisters have towards each other, we don't find that in our churches nowadays. We don't find that in government. We hardly find that in any organization or institution. So the goal is to be able to challenge these young people, to be able to do something with what they have. And where I got this from, I remember one day I was in the big yard. The big yard was Raiders territory. And I was talking to some young man that was involved in a major conflict. I kept talking. They started talking with two fellas. And by the time I looked, raised my head up, I had about 30 fellas. They was just bringing their buckets and bringing their crates and sitting down talking. And what I discovered, Nuri, was that in that 30-plus fellas that I was talking to, there was carpenters, plumbers, masons. There was people that did drywall. So you had a construction company there. But they didn't know it. My goal was to help them to bring out the sea, first of all, and then to bring out the potential that God had in them. When this concept is this. God created man. He never gave him a table, nor did he give him a tree. God, or a table, nor a chair. God hid the table and the chair inside the tree. But he gave man the knowledge to be able to bring it out. Now, the Bible clearly tells us that our people are destroyed because of what? Lack of knowledge. So our goal is to disseminate knowledge and help people cut on the light so they could see the path and see what it is or where it is that they want to go in life.
If you ask me, because I come here with an era where I know people fought for territory, I would say there's no longer any gangs. But I see violence still. Pockets of men, I call them men, they're not like boys, like how I was a boy, 15, 16, doing mischief, throwing rocks and bottles, right? These are men now, I call 25, 30. Has the gang culture shifted from the 90s to now?
I think it's shifted major. Right, where persons that were warring during the time that we were coming up, they were persons that eventually came together. They came together to be able to make money, to establish enterprises. Now, what we see in our country today, we see a bunch of young boys that are trying to find their identity. So we see persons like the two-step boys. These are basically young Haitian boys who feel disenfranchised. So they feel the need to be able to bind together because they've seen how people ostracize like their culture. And in most cases, what they believe that they've defended themselves. It's the same way. You remember when you talk about the syndicate? When the syndicate was around, everybody did a syndicate. So a lot of like gangs came about like the Raiders to rebel. That's why they call themselves the Rebellion against like the syndicate. So in most cases, because people feel that if they don't have a barrier to the violence that's going to be perpetrated on them, then they can be subjected to it. So in your case, you say that you come from the border. Let's say that people see you in the border and they have a war. Let's say that the rebellion's in the war and the border boys going at it. They see you in that area. Because they see you in that area and they catch you someplace else, they automatically associate you with their enemies. So when they done spank you up, right, you go back to your friends, them, who are border boys, and they say, look here, you just need to hang with us. So a lot of young people that really don't want to be in gangs actually become a part of gangs for protection. Some come because of like, it's a cool thing to be able to say that you are one order, you know what I mean? You a TN, you a two-step. It's like it brings credibility, in some case bring popularity to you. And I believe that most of us, we desire that in life. As we get older, that's not the thing that motivates us no more. But for young people, they're looking for likes.
You mentioned earlier, hinted about the migrant population and the disenfranchisement. I remember when Haitian disenfranchised boys joined the Rebellion Raiders and they became like a subset. And I, like I said, I'm not, you didn't mention, for instance, Lyndon meet with the gangs and give a narrative to that. But all of that was quelled for a bit. A number of Haitian behemoths moved to the United States. A number of former gang members turned entrepreneur enterprises, right? A number of what I call Haitian behemoths became citizenship invested into the country. But something shifted in the 2000s. Because I thought, again, I thought gangs were visit that caused the gangs to show their face again. And again, the migrant population, the Haitian population here, a number of them, the boys, why are they gravitating to associate to do these negative things?
When we look at Genesis, the Bible says, God speaking, that is not good for man to be alone. Everybody wants to belong to community. I believe that one of the downfalls of our society is that we have not created like attractive, strong communities that actually appeal to this demographic. So gangs are a result of people finding like communities that they feel that they could relate to, communities that they feel that they could get respect, they could get protection, and they could get finances from. And it's imperative that we as a start to be able to create like environments, not just what we think these persons need, but to be able to incorporate them in the decision making. What am I saying? When you go to the doctor don't just like prescribe like a prescription for you. The doctor sits down, the doctor talks to you. He tries to get you to tell him what's going on, what's going on with you. So when he prescribes something for you, he's prescribing it for you. Today we live in a society where we believe that we get all the answers. People call me an expert, right? I ain't no expert. Every day I'm learning something new. Every day I sit down with some young people, I learn some new things. And that's how we got to be. We got to be open to be able to learn and come to that place where we don't believe that we know everything. Let's help them to solve the problem. Take, for instance, I run a suspension center. Let's say the two fellas, them or fella getting problems. I never subscribe a punishment for him, you know.
Explain suspension center first. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
A suspension center is like a place where when students get suspended from school, rather than sending them home where it's unsupervised and they get into more problems, they could be able to, teachers, schools could be able to send them to supervised suspension centers. So when they're getting problem, I'm not trying to solve their problem. I want to help them to solve their own problem. So I said, look here, what punishment do you think you should get? In a lot of cases, the punishment that they come up with was more severe than what I was in my mind thinking because I punished them, because they came up with it. So let's say that I meet two fellas, they fighting. I never stop the fight and ask them what y'all fighting for, because Nuri, I would be given power to what they fighting for. I shift the focus. Okay, what you want to become in life? What you want to become in life? What I do is cause them to think about something that they don't really think about. So the narrative is what I'm saying is that we got to shift the way we see people. When Jesus was sending his disciples out, he said something to them that was so powerful. He said to be mindful that the people that you're going to meet, that you was once just like them. You know what he was saying, Nuri? Treat people the way you would want somebody to treat you when you was just like them. Talk to people the way you would want somebody to talk to you when you was just like them. All of us, we got our challenges. A lot of us had challenges. Even since I gave my life to Christ, if I sit here to tell you that I was perfect, I'd be lying. I made a lot of mistakes. But one of the things that we do in society is we try to make people believe that we're so squeaky clean that we ain't got issues. We got to be able to come off our mountaintop sometime so we can help some of these people to find themselves. And that's all our movement is about.
We're talking about one Carlos Reed. We're talking about hope, like the Hope Center.
Yes, sir.
Giving people options. as they move and transcend from a place where they're beaten down to a place where they can accomplish and do great things. We have a caller right now, and I want to continue the story because it's had the shock treatment. I don't like the shock treatment. Mm-hmm. You tend to get criticized a lot.
That's okay.
People tend to row you a lot about your efforts to help the misguided youth. And I want to talk about this and shout out, but let's go to the caller first. Guy in Radio AM, you're live.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure. Mr. Reed.
Yes, sir.
I have to agree with everything. A young man, I'm 43 now. I can remember high school. My school was very big on this. I went to Aquinas. And there was a man named Mr. I can't remember his name, Bassett or Baston. He was young, meaning he was like maybe in his 30s, his 40s. But I can remember in grade 2, they used to bring him in. He used to talk to the school and give us these life lessons, these life words and everything. And for me, one of the things that really, why he touched me and why he reached me is because I saw a young man up there I could aspire to become. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem reachable. He wasn't speaking to me as a 60-year-old man, a 70-year-old man, grandchildren. No, he was a young man, his 30s, his 40s, the kids struggling, giving us the path of excellence that we don't have to go on the road and choose bad companies, that we could look for role models and the type of people we need to look into and to be like. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that carried me as a young man. And when I look at my society today, at 43, I don't see much persons up there that I'm related who are 18, who in power, who they put out there that I feel could really attract when you talk about the head. For me, if I was 18, 19, a 73-year-old man wouldn't be able to attract me. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I think that we don't highlight persons that have a true, get-up, strong, struggle story to success. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, NASA's a rock. And when they put persons in our favor who they say they want us to follow, when you check their background, there's nothing desirable about it. It's really no story of where they trust the process, but it's then about how they cheated the process or cheated the game to get to success. So it's really nothing that they could inspire me to say to my children now, who's 15 and 22, and say, hey, be like that guy, because he deserved to be up there because his story supports his success or where he's at, especially with some of these MPs. But I can tune in and I can listen in, but keep up the good work and be inspired. And so hopefully we can now have more young men my age have a story that they can show where they start from nothing and become something to inspire these young, adverse young men who are looking for a role model. Get back with Big Brothers, Big Little Brothers programs. Start to mentor and motivate young men to be something and not think that they could cheat the game, not think that drugs and guns and violence is the way forward to get success in this country.
I believe that's why God placed like this desire, this feeling on the inside. Sometimes we waiting on everybody else, but each one of us have a role to play. I believe in this cliche that if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. We don't have to be verified or validated by people in order to rise up and do what God placed in our heart to do. Just the fact that you call in, mean that God got a desire on the inside of you to change somebody. Maybe it might be your little brother, your cousin. Maybe it might even be your neighbor. But every one of us have a role to play. I honestly believe that there are at least about 70,000 law-abiding citizens. 75% people are law-abiding citizens. So think about that number. If that's 70% that are positive, imagine if everybody was to just reach one. Everybody can't stand in the front of like hundreds of people or even crowds and be able to speak. But there's somebody that we all got in back.
What about our culture? Is our culture violent? Because the women, I'm going to change the women, the young girls, young women are violent. People are saying, oh, we are bad boys. But the bad boys seem to be being led in the Bahamas right now by bad girls. It's them who fighting. It's them who recording. It's them who saying, I don't want a soft boy to be my man. Therefore, you need to toughen up. You need to go and show me that you's man by doing this and doing that.
See, when we look at violence, we tend to look at physical violence. But what about emotional violence? we live in a society, right, that not everybody is physically violent, but a lot of mouth murderers in this country, man. Mouth murderers. People will go there and they'll destroy you with their mouth. Particularly this thing that we have Facebook now that they have like anonymous participant. You know, people out there, they destroy. Don't let somebody decide that they're going to do something positive. Like, and this is why so many people shun. There's some people that will come and support like what I do with me, but I don't want you to tell nobody. Why? Because as soon as you put yourself out there, you become a target. So when we think about like in answering that question, you said that do we have a violent society? Very much so. We a society or a culture that we tend to look for what's wrong in people rather than look for what's right. But when gold miners go looking for gold, they move tons and tons of dirt just to find 1 ounce of gold. But they'll never record how much dirt they move, just how much gold they find. Imagine if we had a society like that, where we concentrate and we point out the good in people rather than looking for the bad. Look here, let me tell you something. There's bad in me, there's good in me. There's bad in you, there's good in you. Every last one of us on planet Earth have some good and some bad. This is why when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, he said, Father, forgive me of my sins, even as I forgive those against me. Every last one of us going to have to be accountable to God, not to man. And we live in a society that feel that people ought to be accountable to them. So I don't know who's listening to me today. Don't let another person's opinion about you become your reality. Not because some people got that hating or that hating spirit on them means that you got to reciprocate that. I believe in the word of God, which says that love covers a multitude of sin. We got to be the ones which show people better than we could tell them. Not everybody on planet Earth going to like you, and that's okay. But I know one thing. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son because he loved you. Stop worrying about who like you and who don't like you.
Recently, I think you were on it. Second Chance, I think, was the theme. Is there space for former bad boys to be leaders in this country? I can't forgive and forget. As a person who's remember forever, I'd be plotting forever. Can I make space in my heart to say, man, you change and you could do better?
I believe, first of all, a person got to become at peace with God first. Stop worrying about people. I listened to, during the same celebration, the Fox Foundation hosts this event where they honored a number of persons I was included in there. And I listened to Keno Wong share his story, and I was moved because he talked about going to prison. We talking about like his transformation process. Now, some folk would latch on where he been rather than where he is now. But I've learned in life, Nuri, that the windshield and the car, you know why? Because where you're going is more important than where you've been. Every last one of us on planet Earth, whether we want to accept it or admit it, we got a history. But most people would search warrant into your closet, but they don't want nobody come in their closet. The reality is, what I'm saying is, we all, in some case, a product of second chance. I'm a product of second chance. I am so glad that God didn't write me off. I am so glad that he gave me another opportunity because I was on my way to prison. I was on my way to hell. But God stepped in and gave me an opportunity. And that's why I do what I do today.
The shock treatment program. Is that real? Do y'all talk to them children like that?
See, what people see on TV is one side of it. And the reason why, it is that way, it's because we want to use that, or parents to be able to use that as a deterrent to their children being no manners and disrespectful. So parents have told us, written to us, hundreds of persons say that, look here, they put their children in front of the television and they tell them to watch this. And if you don't start behaving, I can put you in there. And they said, man, lives turn around. Now, if we was to put, all of the good stuff on television, then it wouldn't have the impact.
So there are some good stuff.
Yeah, man. We talk to you as a comprehensive program. See, you can't judge the program by the show. because the show has a purpose. Its intention is to be the deterrent. You can't put the good stuff when they go over Paradise Island to sit down in the buffet, or by Bahama to sit down in the buffet, go by UB or BTVI to see other young people, see people traveling, go on the boat to travel over to Andras. We don't show them things.
I want to pause you there. How important is that? And the reason why I ask that is going over to Atlantis. I was mad. And I know there are people in my old neighborhood off of Taylor Street, boys, 13, 14, who have never been to Atlantis ever. Never been to Bahama ever. Right? How important it is to show young boys, young girls, especially at risk, places, nice things.
Back in the 2000, I had this opportunity where we took some young boys over to Florida the first time. Remember this one young man, he couldn't even get his passport. And we had to go to immigration office because he was half Haitian. And when he was traveling, he had like this whole bunch of paper wrap up, didn't even have a passport. But I watched that boy sit by the window seat. And he looked out of that window the whole time. He said, man, this is the first time that I've been in an airplane. And his life was impacted. And then we were taking some kids over to this camp over when the little boy was a leader of the Nike boys over in the Grove. Young boy. He's dead today, God bless his soul. But he went out on the bow and he stood out there the whole trip. I walk up in the back of him. I say, Debo, what happened? He said, man, I'm so glad that I got in foreign. He's going to Lutri, you know. But just the fact that he getting off that rock. I believe that these are the kind of things that actually shift people. So when we look at the way that we design shock treatment, we show you the good, but we show you the bad. We expose you to where you could be if you continue along this trend, but we also show you where you could be if you shift direction. Because somebody once told me that if you don't change direction where you're going, you will end up where you're headed. And that's the goal. But like I say, when people see the show, they confuse it with the program, but the program is much bigger than the show. Think about this, right? We use all of our armed forces in this. Persons that have years of experience working with young recruits. Do you really believe that our law enforcement officers would want to be a part of something that only spew negative? That don't even make no sense. And when I look at my life and what God has used me to accomplish over the years, that ain't what my forte is. My forte is to see some people's lives turn around and change. And we have some people like what lives have been impacted tremendously. The day, who is now assistant manager at one of the leading banks in the Bahamas, that came through shock treatment. We got those that are on police force, the defense force, and those that went on to own their own businesses. You know, so we got some good stories. Now, if you ask me if everybody make it, no. But when we look at it, it's like you go to the garbage then and you take some things and find some good things which you could use out of the garbage then. And that's what we're doing. Because the kids that come to us, they're not like junior achievement kids. They're not like the Governor General Award kids. These are the kids what people come to us and say, parents come to us. I don't know what else I could do with them. The only thing I could do with them is to probably put them in boys or put them in girls. I, Mr. Reed, I finish with them. So we're just trying to be what we could be to help some of these parents. What a challenge. Some of these kids slapping their children, their parents down, drop kicking them. Some of them coming home 3-4 o'clock and the parent can't say nothing to them. They're the type of kids what we deal with shock treatment.
Wow. We have another telephone caller who wants to engage you. Guiding Radio AM, we're talking to Carlos Reed. Go ahead, caller. Don't listen to your radio, you're live. Yeah, they're waiting for them to catch up. Mm-hmm. I'm be talking to you, caller.
Hello.
Hello, you're live. Go ahead.
Hi. Mr. Yuri.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to commend you and Dr. Reed for your show. I am sitting down here and I'm sucking in everything that is being said.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
You know, congratulations. We need to hear more of these kinds of things. Mr. Reed, Dr. Reed.
Yes, ma'am.
I now see you in a very, very different light.
Thank you, ma'am.
Filled with inspiration. Please keep it up and share the good word.
Thank you
and
so
Mr.
much.
Mr. Reed, I like the way you approached your program this morning. Quite inspiring.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate it. Now, let's talk about the history of your program, your basketball program. Because you changed the name about two or three times. But I want to know, how did it come about? Like, what is it that, say, we can start shooting hoops instead of shooting guns? Like, what incident happened? So that people can appreciate that this is the narrative. Because I remember when I was younger, like, again, I grew up in the border. Your program had a different name. And of course, like things change and morph into different things. But I want to know the narrative of the beginning and come to where you are now.
When I gave my life to Christ back in 1989, I came from being a gangster, dope dealer, a young man that was in search of finding my identity. And when I got saved, I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something that was different because, to me, churches didn't appeal to young people. Back then, the only type of people that were in church was like the sissy boys or the people that were soft. And I knew that God didn't call me to be none of them. And God placed in my heart to start Youth Against Violence. And one of the first initiatives that we decided to do, we wanted to do a Park League championship because I love basketball, man. I came up playing basketball, and I honestly believe if I didn't listen to people, that I could have made it to the NBA. But they told me that I was too short, you know. And then when I went to an actual game and saw people like the same size as me, I said, wow, I allow people to shift my identity or to shift my destination. So we started the Park League basketball championship. We started that we were supposed to go inside the Kendall Isaac Gymnasium. And then 1 week before the event, they took the gym back for us, from us, and we had to go out on Golden Gate Park. We started with eight teams. That was back in 1995. But we started. All odds was against us. And today, the basketball tournament has grown from eight teams, where we have six division with eight teams participating in each one of those divisions. You know, when we went into the Border Boys, as you alluded to, we had a outreach down there, and we saw, like, gangsters give their life to Christ that night. Whole heap of gangsters. I saw fellas like getting rid of their guns, getting rid of their dope, and giving their life to Christ. I remember us taking buses down in the Border Boys and busing people to BFM. And out of that number, there was this young man by the name of Nelson Cooper. And he had a story. He was the gang leader of the Border Boys. And he had a real story. And he got killed. He got killed because one night he decided to go over in Mason Addition and encourage the men over there, the young boys over there that was warring with the Border Boys, to let's put down our guns. Nelson lost his life. Nelson was in the hospital for a number of different, for some time, and later died. We wanted to remember him. So we decided to shift the name, which would have been the Peace on the Street, to the Nelson Cooper Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. And we carried that for a number of different years because, like I say, like people don't remember bad boys. We remember the good boys, but we wanted to remember Nelson for the good, the turnaround that he made, you know. And then we shifted again. We shifted and we went back into the Peace on the Street. And then in 2020, my brother Michael Scooter Reed, he died. And that messed me up, you know. And when Scooter was one of those that encouraged me, he was like, he was my strength. Even though he was my younger brother, he was my strength because he was a basketball icon. Scooter was a real athlete, one of the first humans to jump Thomas. You know, and he was my inspiration because my mom paid his first year semester to go to Liberty Baptist College in Lynchburg, Virginia. And Scooter went there, and he was so tenacious that he walked on to the basketball team and made the team, got a scholarship. Me, you know, so basically he was my hero. And he died in 2020, so I wanted to do something. I wasn't going to wait on this country to pay homage to him. That's my brother. So we decided that we was going to shift the name and play Michael Scooter Reed, Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. And that's why we are today. We both are having six divisions because we wanted to be all-inclusive. We tried a couple of years ago to bring the girls on board, but that didn't work out too well for us. But we have a 13 and under division. We have a 16 and under, a 20 and under. We have a church division. We have a corporate division that persons that are at work. Your work at put a team in so you guys could have something to talk around the water cooler on or in the tree. And for the first time ever, we're doing a constituency division. And that's been getting a whole heap of volume over the past couple of days, right? Because we're giving away $3,000 to the winner. Whatever team wins that division, getting $3,000.
Nice. We're going to take this phone call, then we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're talking to Dr. Carlos Reed. We're talking now basketball, Peace on the Street Basketball. He's giving tribute to his late brother, right? That's who the
Michael whole... Michael Scooter Reed,
the whole tournament's name after. The caller gone. I just is going to let the call... I can give you 30 more seconds, call it a call back, so you can engage us, because I know we were talking for a minute. But, okay, see the caller here, so let me do that before we do the commercial break. Let's patch that caller through. Go ahead, caller.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, I was listening to Carlos Reed. I don't know if you remember me. So Kate is B-Ron and Martin Lake is Lola
Lane. Yes, sir.
The guy, the two twin brothers, wasn't it? Mario and Dario or something like that?
Yeah, Dario and Mario.
You remember that?
Daryl and Mario, yep.
Yeah, growing up, I really like, I grew up I know if you remember me like that.
I know the voice so good, boy.
Yeah, man, we grew up together. And think about this. A couple of your friends died, but they didn't die from no kind of violence. They died from plane crash and car accident.
Yes, sir.
You remember Lola Lane?
Yeah.
Two brothers?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I lived down the road from Lola, and I used to be around Mountain Lake with y'all and all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
But I remember when you switch over the Lord Pat. Remember?
Yes, sir.
And I thought you was faking.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, my college, he's like, he's trying to torture you know what I mean? Take the load off his shoulder. But apparently, you just gone straight through that, and then you ain't never stretched for it.
Yes, sir.
And I admire you for that.
I appreciate that, man. That means
so
much.
You ain't never stretched over, and you just gone through that, and I say, oh, yeah, but this nigga is real. But I only. Yeah, and I'm going to say, appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate that so much, man.
Yeah, man, I didn't remember you, man, bro. Yeah, but then, you know, enjoy yourself.
Bless it, man. We'll link up soon.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Carl. We take this quick commercial break and we return back to Dr. Carlos Reed so we can talk about the Peace on the Street tournament that's coming up. So we're going to get more details about that. Again, this segment is now 11:45. No, it's 11:45. This segment is sponsored by Percy Island's Game. So we're going to be returning to them when we come on the next side of the break. We'll be right back.
They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Change doesn't happen in sound bites. It happens when people come together and actually talk. The Forum is that conversation where Bahamians from all walks of life work through the issues that affect us all, challenge each other, and find solutions together. Every Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The Forum with Ricardo Wells, coming this Saturday to Guardian Radio.
For the 31st annual Michael Scootery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Bring it on now, let's go.
Whether you're a player or a fan, you don't want to miss this one. The action starts July 13th at the Hope Center. Log on to peaceonthestreets.com and register.
Come on, everybody, we're going.
That's the Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Game time.
Change doesn't happen in sound bites. It happens when people come together and actually talk. The Forum is that conversation where Bahamians from all walks of life work through the issues that affect us all, challenge each other, and find solutions together. Every Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The Forum with Ricardo Wells, coming this Saturday to Guardian Radio.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're going to give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenton Con, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Fenton Con, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Fenton Con, Island Game, we got you. Percy Fenton Con,
you can trust, if winning is a must. Go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at
Percy's Island Game.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Attention, Island Games players. Percy's Pension Plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary for up to $1,000 per week for a full year. Applications close on September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com. That's theislandgame.com. $1,000 a week you're eligible for an entire full year. So we're going to speak back to Dr. Carlos Reed. We're having a Peace on the Street scooter, Peace on the Street, and we're going to get some more details on it. Go ahead.
This on the 13th of July, 13th of July is when we get started with this year, Michael Scootery at Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. And we got so many interest this year. I believe this is one that's going to be the biggest yet. We have the Tropical Gyro 13 and under. We got the NRG and Navi NRG. In case you don't know, they them people want to sell that good, healthy, good food. They got one place right there on West Bay Street and one over in Old Fort Bay. Also, the Sun Oil 20 and under. They've been with us for a number of years, so make sure you all support Shell. Then we have the Church Division, which is going to be sponsored by Original. And We Buy, You Sell is going to be doing the brand new division. The constituency brothers, look here, we want to see who is the best or what constituency have the best ballers this year. And we already got about six teams that's already in that. We ain't going no more than about eight. So the first eight team in there, that's what we can battle with. All right. And we're giving out $3,000 to the winner. So that's some good lodging to be able to take home. And then we have the TGD Architects. That's a corporate division. And this is for you guys that work and you got a work team. It could be the hotel. It also could be government agency, whether it's the police, the defense force. So far, we got, I think, about four teams in there. So we're taking four more teams and then we closing that out. So you still get opportunity. And if you want to sign up for any one of those divisions, you could go to our website. Peace on the Street, not streets, Peace on the Street, peaceonthestreet.com, and you could be able to register on that. But after we done with this tournament, the 5 days of this tournament over at the Hope Center, we're going to take this action over to the Kendall Isaac Gymnasium, and that is going to be a spectacular night. We have the Slam Dunk Contest, and look at Nuri, I see some fellas them in this Bahamas. We be like tripping out over the NBA Slam Dunk. But we got some fellas got more ups than UBS.
Right.
Yeah, but they say these fellas, them jumping, they're getting on bad. You know, so that's going to be a show in itself. And then we have the Mr. Shippett three-point shootout. This is a new twist that we're doing this year, so you got to be in the gym to see it. And, of course, this game between the pastors and the politician. You know, years ago, the late Fenton Nemore, I'd called him. We was already doing the tournament. And I said, look here, man, I want to do a game between the PLP and the F&M MPs. He said, Carlos, look here, man, we just came out of an election. He said, but look here, why don't we combine the two and we find somebody to play? Like he said, we could probably play all the bosses. And we started it then. And that was an awesome idea. And seeing how we just come out of like an election, you know how powerful this is, right? Where you get like MPs from all sides coming together for one collective message.
How is that embraced? On our street. Is that being embraced?
Very much.
The two divides, major parties come together.
I remember the first year we did this. Our prime minister, who wasn't prime minister then, he was just like a member of parliament in the House of Assembly. And him and the late Charles Maynard, they were going neck to neck inside the house. They were like, man, they was going at each other. But we were playing in this game and the minister played in the very first one. That's why we honoring him this year doing this game. He played in the very first one. And I remember Charles Maynard fell down on the basketball court. And the Honorable Bray Davis went over, gave him a hand, and pulled him up, and they hug each other. I said, but that's the power of sports. And I believe that's what our culture is. Our culture is, but you could vote for whoever you want. You could root for whoever you want when it comes to junk canoe or in sports. But we got a way how we really could come together as people. And this what this game really does. So this year, we have Jay Filippi, who ran in Bantam, very good basketball player. He's going to be playing from the F&M side. We also have the Nari Roll. I think he ran in Pinewood, right? He's going to be playing the Honorable Shenandoah Cartwright. He's going to be playing from that side. And you know, Leonardo Lightburn, he used to be a CBA basketball, pro basketball player. The Honorable Clay Sweeten, it's a good baller. This is going to be
Clay Sweeten, play baller?
Yeah, man, he's a hooper. he's a hooper. He'll remind you of Larry Bird.
What?
You know, he's a real hooper can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they have a very, very good team, but they ain't win none yet.
They ain't win none yet.
They ain't win none
yet. The Pacers beat them all the time.
We beat them all the time. Oh, but this year, right, I believe that they get a good opportunity to break that streak. The prime minister is going to be coaching them again.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be, like, an interesting thing. You know, when we look at it, right, like, when this first started, it was about laughs and joke. But that's coming to be like a serious baller. Mm-hmm. And anybody would be into the gym or watch this on television over the last couple of years. This is, and guess what? Right? I can say this to all of those members of parliament. But don't think you're coming to get nothing for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We can put something on y'all again.
I believe y'all have God, the pastors have God on their side.
That's what they be saying, that we bring Jesus to the gym.
Yeah,
you know?
That I feel.
Yeah, but we want to encourage people to come on out and support our efforts. Not just support the efforts, what we're doing, but to support these young people. You know, I believe that we ought to celebrate them on the basketball court. So there'll be no need for them to look for celebration or endorsement going to the Supreme or the Magistrate Court. You know, let's come together and let's support these young men as they shoot hoops instead of guns.
I appreciate you, Carlos Reed. I was speaking to Dr. Carlos Reed from the Hope Center, right? This has been Guardian Radio AM on July 13th, I get it right?
From the 13th, from 6 p.m. in the night straight through on the Friday, and then we get started over on the 19th over at the Kendall Isaac Gymnasium, and I want everybody to come out. We've been out to all of them rallies and all of that. I want you to come out. Let's celebrate our young people.
Good. Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.